Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
You are listening to If We Were Writing, a feisty triathlon-ish podcast. I'm Kelly O'Mara, and together with Sarah True, we head up a weekly group ride where we dish on all triathlon news and everything else-ish we want to talk about. We're joined regularly by Khadijah Diggs and Jocelyn Wong-Neal, and Laura Sedol does her Sid Talk segment updating you on everything you need to know from the weekend. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If We Were Writing is a production of Live Feisty Media. Join us on our group ride. Yeah. All right, we have a different group ride this week. Jocelyn is out, and we have Kristen Jenny joining us. Everybody, welcome.
Hi.
Kristen, so, okay, here's my question for you. I know you're like a triathlete. I mean, you're in Boulder. You have to be a triathlete. It's like the law. But what else are you doing? Oh, no, I made fun of Boulder. That's terrible. We're going to get into
it. I got to go now, Kelly. Sorry. I got to go cry about it. I'm going to make a passive-aggressive Instagram post for all my Boulder followers.
What stuff are you doing this year, though? Tell us.
Yeah, so on the triathlon front, I'm going to be kicking things off at Oceanside, which I always forget how much it hurts. Like every year, I'm like, yeah, it'll be so great to like kick off the season. And then I run up that like first little hill in Oceanside and I'm like, why am I doing this? This is so miserable. Like, I don't think people realize Oceanside is like kind of brutal in its own way. Then I'll be at St. George, Lake Placid. So Kelly and I can
we're all
hang
doing
out
Placid.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, So this will be that was my first ever Ironman almost 10 years ago. So it'll be super fun to go back. I don't know if they're going to continue it after this year. Like, I feel like all the rumors are,
oh, is that a
knows?
Rumor? We love wild speculation here. Does anyone else want to start rumors right now?
Yeah, that we should go with that rumor, I think.
Well, I did hear that a couple of years ago. So this might just be one of those like rumors that keeps on recirculating. Okay. Where like every year people were like, Lake Placid, this is the last year.
I just thought that it was like they had that town board meeting in like 2021 where like half the town unsurprisingly hates Ironman, and I thought that they hadn't renewed past 24, but I don't know. I handed over my thousands of dollars and I'll be there this summer. And then I qualified for Nice at the end of this 2023, so I'll be in Nice and then Cozumel and
wow, gravel all of them. We're all like, our little ride here, we're all like talking ourselves into doing our one iron, like we're all like, yeah, we can do it together.
Listen, whatever motivates you. Before I get any further, this is the number one question we have. Are you pro or anti croissant? Because you're going to Nice.
Right.
And Kelly has feelings.
Okay, so I'm pro like a really buttery croissant, anti like dry, chalky chocolate croissant.
Interesting.
Is that fair?
Would say I'm not anti croissant. I feel like we have to like stop the croissant hating rumors.
I don't know. I'm trusting Sarah on this one. Shit, you know.
I just think they're overrated, just like France. That's my opinion. Ooh, for the record.
The shots fired.
Wow.
Right.
That's a bold statement, Kelly. You're going to alienate your France base here.
I don't think I have a French base. I think we all know that.
I'm not a fan of France either. So.
Yeah. Okay. To our like two French listeners, I love you. So, you know. You can bring all the croissants to me and Nice.
There you go. Good.
My 13-year-old son, I asked him how he's doing in French, and he says, merci, blah, blah.
blah, blah. I actually, yeah. So I took French forever, and now I like really regret not taking Spanish. Like Spanish comes up in my life every day. French never comes up in my life.
I'll
like,
help ever. You. Okay. I'll help you in Lake Placid.
I mean, I'll one up you. I grew up speaking German, which is like 0% helpful at all in any way. And then I took Spanish all throughout high school and college. So like helpful, but people are like, that's so cool. Like you grew up speaking German. And I was one of the most unhelpful things I've ever learned in my life. So
my ex-husband is from the Gambia. So my kids speak Manding. There's nobody in Atlanta. Well, that's not true. There's a huge Gambian community in Atlanta, but it's not like the kids run around speaking.
Not in Decatur.
Yeah, no. Not in Decatur. Not in Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Is that how you guys are pronouncing it now?
Yes.
Well, so I thought for a really long time, because I'd never heard anyone say Decatur out loud, that it was like some French influence of Georgia, and that it was Decatur. And so that's how I personally refer to it. But I have been reminded many times that it is not pronounced
Okay. In California, we have all kinds of names that are a mix of like Spanish and French, or they're like Spanish and French and then like some Native American, but then you say them with like a California accent. So there's all these things that like make no sense. And there's so many things where I thought somebody was saying like a very Indian, like San Whoopi Taylor. And I thought it was like San Whoopi. And his name was Samuel P. Taylor. And that's what everyone was. And I just thought they were like saying it all, because everyone says it all in one word.
Oh my God.
There's all kinds of these where you're like, I didn't know. And there's this girl, like there's this town I live in called San Anselmo. And the girl who used to work with me would pronounce it San Anselmo. And I was like, so everyone, it's like, it's crazy out here. You just make up how you say things.
And then we just have Boulder. It's like Boulder out here. It's like, you really, come on. Like if you don't get that right, you're struggling.
They kick you out of Whole Foods.
You get kicked out of Whole Foods. We are going to talk about triathlon today. It's going to happen. After the break, we'll cover all the big announcements this week. And then Kristen is actually joining us to talk about a number of articles she's written on the cycling industry. All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with One Water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year. And I used TryHard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. TryHard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of TryHard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the Try Hard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co. So Jocelyn, I know, you know, we're getting older and aging, and you've been using Aminocos Heal as part of your like post-workout recovery, right?
Yeah, it seems like after I became a mom and then turned 40, my recovering abilities really tanked. So as you remember, I then tore my meniscus, had to get surgery in my knee, and now I've had this lingering ligament injury in my foot. So I've been adding a scoop of the chocolate flavored Heal to like either a glass of chocolate milk or a recovery smoothie. And I love that it helps accelerate muscle repair and reduce inflammation so I can keep training and racing hard in my 40s.
Yeah. And so you use the Aminoco Heal chocolate. How do you like it? How does it taste?
It tastes pretty good. I mix it up with a bunch of stuff. So it's like, tastes like a chocolate shake.
And all Aminoco products are 100% science backed. It's, you know, Feisty's go-to essential amino acids. And you can get 30% off with the code WRITING, as in if we were writing, at aminoco.com/writing. You'll also get a free gift for new purchasers. That's aminoco, aminoco.com/writing, and use the code WRITING at checkout for 30% off and a free gift. All right, usually we have Jocelyn pick which hot topic we should start with. So I guess we'll go Khadija. What hot topic should we start with this week?
Let's start with the PTO.
The PTO announcement.
And why they call it T100.
Right. So apparently, this is true, but when you search PTO, it was causing them problems in America because PTO stands for paid time off. And so you would type it into Google and you wouldn't get PTO, which is true. I have a really hard time. It happened to me every time. So they were like, well, we need to come up with a new name. Now, why T100? I have no idea. I think they should have gone Pro Tri League or Pro Tri World Tour, or you know what I mean? Something like that would make more sense, right?
I thought that T100 sounded like some kind of supplement, drink your T100. That's the vibe that gave me.
I was like, now they got challenge PTO, this T100. This is too much. That's what I thought.
Yeah. I thought it sounded more like an automotive lubricant or something.
Right.
Spray. I also think T100.
I don't think it's I always run things by my husband is the target market for all these things. You know what I mean? He's a casual triathlete who loves Lucy. This is your target market. And he was like, oh, is that what that was? I saw that go by in my Instagram. And I just thought it sounded stupid. And I was like, oh, well, there you go. That's not great.
So are the races 100 kilometers?
Yeah. That's
or are they? Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then it kind of makes it. They're going to have to change all the little logos and everything.
I know.
It makes sense. I can see why they did it. And after if that's around 10 years from now, we're just going to have adopted it and not think too much about the name.
That's very optimistic of you, Sarah.
I am trying to be an optimist right now because I have feelings that will not disclose on the podcast.
Well, I disclose my feelings. I do think, though, that they clearly hired a marketing branding consultant. And I also think that marketing branding consultant was clearly European. And I think the same one is trying to, and at the same time, Super League and PTO keep talking about how they are struggling with America. And I'm guys, let me give you some America feedback here. Because it just doesn't feel, you know what I'm saying there? It feels very Euro Formula One-y, not Cornhusker and Taylor Swift, right? It's not.
We need there's a reason why I feel it's the rock and roll half marathon and marathon series, America rock and roll. We need they should have named it something the barbecue 100 or something, and or the you know barbecue. Something really American.
Then all the vegans will be mad.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No, that's well, you could barbecue tofu, would assume.
Yeah, a friend of mine does it all the time. Of course, well, they do.
The market they're trying to get, that may be exactly what they were looking for. Because if you look at where the races are, they're not trying to specifically target Americans. I mean, they do have that one race in Las Vegas.
They have three U.S. races.
They have three U.S. races?
They have Miami, Vegas, and California, which they're not saying what it is. But I made it clear, I think it's Alcatraz. Because I live out here, and that is the heavy rumor out here.
What are the other races?
All right, so they announced the whole race series, and it starts in Miami at Clash Miami in 5 weeks, and then it goes, and I'm going to do this off the top of my head, it goes Singapore, London, Singapore, California, London, Ibiza, Vegas, Dubai, and then an undisclosed Middle East location that has paid a lot of money for them to fly out and announce it at the location in 3 weeks. That's not what they said. That is the between the lines.
Well, it's probably Bahrain because they're crazy about triathlon over there.
Yeah, there's apparently the Dubai one is gonna be part of this big Dubai 30-day festival or something, and they pay. So obviously these places are both either paying money or accommodating the PTO.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if one of the major financial backers has ties.
Sure.
Yeah, that's generally how these things go. Of the PTO, not just the T100.
Yeah. The when they kept saying California, and I was like, so one of their main backer lives in San Francisco. And I was like, oh, we're just gonna like ride our bikes in front of his house. That would be pretty funny.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Yay, see, this is what your money bought.
So half the races are in the US then. So
yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, like, kudos to them. Like, I honestly did not think they were actually ever going to pull this off. So they at least have pulled it off for a year. They said on the press call, which they did this big flashy announcement in London, they said they have 3 to 5 year contracts with every city. So like, this is the only time that they're going to have to like wrangle everyone. We'll see.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it's cool to like see this come to fruition. I remember, like, gosh, like 5 or 6 years ago when this was all kind of this vague idea, like out in the ether, like the PTO, the Pro Triathletes Organization. Like, so it is cool to see it like now have this T100 World Tour. Just because I feel like for such a long time it was kind of like, okay, is this going to happen? Is this not? Kind of like the Collins Cup. It was like,
I
for
think
so
the Collins
long,
Cup just, is gone for good. Like, I don't think.
No, that. I think it's gone. But like when it actually happened, though, I feel like it had been talked about for like 5 years before even the initial version happened. So it's cool. It's cool to see the PTO getting this off the ground.
They did. So they also released the list of athletes, and like, they did get some big names, right? Like, they did. Like, and that's what's interesting now is, so Lucy said she won't be doing Nice. Taylor Nib has said she won't be doing Nice. We haven't heard from like Daniela or Anne or Chelsea, but that's gonna be like a, gonna be, you know, it's gonna be a, it's gonna be a, like a challenge this year with everyone deciding like which things to do and which things not to do.
I thought she said she was gonna do Nice or like qualify, and then she was probably gonna retire after this year. I thought she was like pretty sure in for Nice, but
I don't know. I don't think Danielle is ever retiring. That's what I've said.
What about Jan? He made that post today that was like, right. Oh man, T100 looks pretty good. It's like encore.
Jan can ride off into the sunset. It's his time.
Yeah.
What were you about to say, Sarah?
Oh, so I think what you're asking is, will people just focus on this T100 and not try to also do Ironman, Olympics? Is there going to be picking? I don't know. I see a lot of names on the list where you're like, they're definitely doing both.
There's some who are doing both, yeah.
Oh, 100%. I think the question is, like, if this is around 5 years from now, how specialized people will be. And I think that's where we're going to see, like, you can't do both and expect to do it well. But I think, and I was actually surprised to see somebody like Flora Duffy.
I was too.
Because my impression would have been, she is going to Paris to try to win another gold medal.
That was absolutely what I thought too. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like anybody who's like, listen, I want to win gold at Paris. They're not looking at the series and trying to do the whole thing. They're going to,
in all fairness, Sarah, they did give exemptions to people who qualified for the Olympics. They said, if you're in the Olympics, you only have to do half the races.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Oh,
so I don't think Flora is going to show up until after.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I'm looking at, there's Taylor Spivey's on here as well.
Yeah, Spivey, they gave a wild card to too. Now, Christian turned down the contract because he said, I'm all in. I have to, like, I can't even train for long course because he has said, like, it slows him down. Basically, he gets too dull, like, you know.
So that didn't surprise me at all.
Right.
Because, like, for sure, he knows what it takes, and yeah, that was a very strategic move on his part. I just think right now athletes are like, hey, cash grab, I'm gonna do as much racing as I possibly can do this year, and maybe like I have to sandbag some of the T100 races, and maybe that's going to cost me a contract potentially next year for the series. But also, like, you're getting a lot of the points, the ones that you do show up for, so like, it's going to be interesting to see.
I will say that's one of my I don't, you know, whatever. The PTO says that I hate too much on them and stuff. But like, I would say that's my actual like real concern is that like, if they continue to offer contracts based on the highest ranked people at the end of the year, but their races offer the most points. And so then the highest ranked people are always going to be the people that are in that closed loop system. How do you crack into the and they're like, oh, well, we'll have wild cards and we'll have like other, like the people will get it. Because when people can't race, they will fill the field with wild cards. And they're like, oh, well, that's how you'll earn a contract. But to me, that seems like a little bit doesn't make sense. Like,
well, and that's where I feel like some athletes are going to be playing both, you know, both sides where they're like, hey, listen, I don't have to be great in the T100 races to be guaranteed a contract for next year. I just have to be pretty good. But like my real focus is Ironman or the Olympics.
I thought it was interesting that Lucy Charles she said, no, I'm not doing any Ironmans this year. Or maybe she's trying to recover from all the Ironmans.
I mean, she definitely I think she tore her calf at Kona. Yeah. I think Kona was a long time. You know what I mean? Like that had been hanging out there for her for a long time and she achieved it. So, and I will say like they had Lucy and they had Alistair Brownlee at their launch in London. It is a London based company. It is a European company that has a very European focus.
Yeah.
Like I think for them, they're getting like, I don't know. I've not seen their contract, but I would guess that they are getting paid well, right?
Yeah, because that's going to be a big deal for triathlon in their country, period. Right. Because their athletes are going to see them doing that, and that's what they're going to want to do. So
that's what I mean when I say, like, it feels like it has a very European, not American focus, you know? It's like, it's very European. So, but there was other big news this week. I spent all of the first half of the week on press calls. And so Monday morning was meet the new Ironman CEO. And Kristen was on that call. So I was actually on the call and I was on my phone and I couldn't see who else was on it, Kristen. So I texted a friend and he was like, oh, it's all the usual suspects. All the usual like triathlon people are on this call.
I'm thrilled to be a usual suspect at this point.
Usual suspect. So what did you think of the new Ironman CEO?
You know, I think triathletes in general are a hard group to satisfy, right? Like, I don't think we need to belabor that point. So I feel like if they had promoted from within, like Ironman would have caught flack for being like, oh, classic Ironman, like not outsourcing for new ideas. But then they go and they pick someone who I think, at least on paper, is a pretty good choice. And people are like, wow, I can't believe they didn't pick someone from the triathlon industry. And so I feel like it was kind of a no-win situation from the general like chatter that I hear amongst age group triathletes. I thought, you know, we all sound great on day one is like kind of my overall take.
Yeah, Sarah's raising her hand.
Okay.
Sarah.
For those of us who live under a rock, can you give
you want to know more?
I don't even know the new CEO's name. Like, all I right, know
his name
nothing.
Is Scott DeRue, which I had like took me forever to figure out how to spell. And he is I'm trying to think how I always say this. He is like an exec, what's the word? Corporate.
He's a president. Business.
Yeah. But he was corporate business shit. And then he was at University of Michigan for like 15 years, ran their business school, taught like courses on like leadership and business and whatever, ran their business school for like, that's kind of his like, and then he was on the board of Equinox, took over as president for like 2 years during the pandemic to like turn it around. Which I think is part of what's appealing to Ironman because I think to your point about like age group, like the general audience not appreciate, I don't think people appreciate how much Ironman like is actually underwater right now. Like if you, from a financial standpoint, like it's actually amazing. They didn't go out of business in the last 3 years. So that's his. And then from a sports perspective, Sarah, he is like an ultra runner and a mountaineer. Like he's done all the like mountaineering, like Everest and Kilimanjaro and 6 of the 7 summits. But he's never done triathlon before.
What? I'm just kidding.
So he said he's going to like hire, he's like, you know, going to start on that journey, hire a coach and what, which is like, fine, whatever, sure. Like experience, like get the full, you know, couch to Ironman experience. That's your audience. Like,
yeah. So I said, we need the Ironman to Mount Everest comparison, which is harder. Which obviously if he doesn't say Iron Man, people would be furious. But yeah, I thought honestly, I I appreciated that the two areas that he kept coming back to, again, it's day one, right? Like, what are you really going to say? But he seems very focused on the athlete experience and listening to athletes. Again, like, I have healthy skepticism about what does that really look like, right? Like, are you actually going to dive into those semi-meaningless surveys we fill out after every race as age groupers? Or are you actually going to reach out to, you know, historically underrepresented groups in triathlon? Like, I want to believe that he's really going to do the things he says. But again, it's like on day one, it's so easy to be like, yes, and I'm going to listen to everyone and like improve the athlete experience. I think it'll be a mix of holding him to that, but also just knowing that like Rome wasn't built in a day as a CEO. And we in turn have to be a little bit patient to really see what will unfold under his era.
What I heard a lot between the lines was like, Ironman is a race directing company. They are first and foremost like an events company. And like a lot of this other stuff that's been kind of happening and and that's happened in the pandemic is almost a distraction from like, they need to get back to putting on really good events, right? And if they put like, that's what they do better than almost like anybody. Like I remember my first one and I'm like, you know, and you're like crying at the finish line and you're crying at the video and you're crying at the other video, right? Like that's what they do really, really well. And that's why people get tattoos of them. And so if they do that, right? Like that's what I heard was like, if they just get like really get that right again, then like all this other distraction like won't matter, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, when I asked, I didn't ask Andrew this question. Someone else asked Andrew, like what Andrew felt Scott's biggest challenge might be. And Andrew more or less kind of said like retention, because people, you know, people are moving to gravel, they're moving to trail. And while Ironman owns some of those races too. Kelly, more or less what I'm saying is I agree with that. I think
she's saying Kelly is right and amazing and should be Ironman CEO.
Oh, God. Thank you for words out of my mouth, Kelly. Thank you.
I think they don't listen. People don't want that one day experience anymore. I can't say it enough.
Do you think they want like the festival?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are not listening.
Okay. Yeah. Going back to this new CEO, we were able to get Andrew Messick on a Live Feisty panel and we're able to like poke gentle jokes at him. And he took it without, you know, with some good humor. Will we be able to do that with this?
I've asked. Yeah. I've asked if they would like to, you know, come. I haven't heard back yet. He's on day three. So.
Did you get the sense?
I poked fun at him.
Okay.
There were a lot of jokes. There were jokes. But in all fairness, Sarah, these media calls are like mostly people from the media like wanting to talk about themselves in the guise of a question. Like that's what happens.
Yeah. Right. So Kelly, you didn't say, I have a lot of experience in triathlon media. And one of the most important things I did was have a shoot the shit conversation with Andrew Messick for Live Feisty.
You should come on our wildly popular number one women's triathlon podcast.
Big everywhere except for France.
That's true.
I think that like one thing I can appreciate about his background, and also Sarah, I do think that we can like poke fun at him and he'll laugh. I got that sense. Equinox being a luxury brand, like I think that there's a unique parallel there with Ironman. I don't want Ironman to be this elitist luxury brand either. Like if anything, I want the barrier to entry to be like lower, but I think from Ironman's perspective, here's the CEO who has experience creating luxury experiences with hospitality or almost event like spaces. Like if you've ever been to an Equinox gym, which actually I have not, but I've just seen the pictures.
Okay,
there
this is like my mom was like, what's Equinox? I was like, you don't know what Equinox is?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And he worked for the credit bureau, to be honest with you. I was like, oh no, it's Knox, not facts.
Okay. But like, I think that he knows how to create a memorable experience that like keeps people coming back. So that was my hot take, is that he's actually not such a far-fetched pick.
No, I actually thought it made sense. And I'm like, just glad it's not like a, whatever. Like, it doesn't seem like they're going to, like, gut the company and take it for assets, which was one of my concerns. Maybe we should have gotten the head of Equifax, Khadijah. Maybe that would have made more sense.
Yeah. I was just like, yo, they hired somebody from the credit bureau?
You're like, that's cool. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sure. I mean, it might have helped their financials. Maybe, like Kelly said, maybe they should have done that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, on it, like, yeah, there's a general thing where, like, I don't think people realize, like, how much some of these big companies are, like Equinox, like Gyms and USAT and Iron Man, like, they had no incoming cash for, like, a year and a half, 2 years, and they still had payroll, right? Like, that's not great. So, anyway, because I feel like a lot of people are like, why are we still talking about this pandemic? Shouldn't it all be better now? And you're like, no, absolutely not.
I'll be curious to see if Scott goes to Oceanside, just as kind of like an appearance thing, like first North American race. I feel like that would, if he really wants to listen to athletes, that would be a good place to start, you know, post up at the expo or something. We'll meet the CEO, tell him your grievances type of situation, a festivist situation, if you will.
If he really wants to know what's going on, he's going to show up and try to figure out a way that nobody knows who he is.
That's what
he can see what the real down low is.
That's what Messick used to do.
Yeah, that's the problem with CEOs. They're trying to look like CEOs too much. You have to understand the people before you can understand what the people need.
For all that I like, back when like Andrew Messick used to call Sarah number one his like mortal enemy, like, so back in the day he would show up at races just like and just, you know, like just do them, just like do the race under, like, not undercover, but you know what I mean, like low-key, like walk around,
yeah, and chat to people and get the feel for what was going on, yeah,
for sure. So that's what people do.
Run into somebody like me who didn't know who he was.
Oh yeah. My mom wanted to share some thoughts one time. I was like, Mom.
I remember Andrew Messick doing 70.3 Hawaii in 2021, which I also did. And he was, I had finished and he was like in the last 5K or something. And I was like, who is that guy just covered in sunscreen? Like, covered. And then when he crossed the finish line, they were like, you know, and Andrew Messick. And I was like, oh man, Andrew Messick. Now that's a dose of humility. You are the guy.
Just, like, there you go.
Just covered in sunscreen right now. So I can appreciate it.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, Andrew Messick, kudos to you for doing the best you could in a really tough job with a lot of people giving you a hard time, including us sometimes.
I know I have.
You know, like, he wasn't perfect in his role, but I genuinely think he cared about the sport and did the best he could.
I was like, I think he's like a super fan of sport. One time he like explained drafting to me and old Sarah using phones to like demonstrate. And I just don't imagine this new CEO doing that yet. I don't think he knows what drafting is. So. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. And then when we come back, Kristen's gonna talk to us about the cycling industry.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It's about seeking moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected to the beauty of the world around us. And let's be honest, with a lot of swim, bike, and run, we get to see a lot of beauty. Orca's been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. I absolutely love my Orca wetsuit. Apex is number one, but there's a range of triathlon wetsuits. You can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. Really, there's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures. As a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com. Get out there and chase some epic, friends.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
All right, Kristen, so I wanted to talk, we wanted you to come on because you wrote these two articles about so many women leaving the cycling industry. It's like, what is it, like 71% or something are considering leaving? And that sounds like crazy to me. And I'm curious if it's the same in triathlon. And I'm like, want to know what you found. Like, what did you learn?
Yeah, totally. So the 71% number comes from a survey by the Bicycle Association, which is a UK-based organization. That they did, I believe, in early 2023 or late 2022. And basically they found that 71% of the 1,100-ish respondents that they surveyed who are women said that they're considering leaving the industry due to like limited upward mobility, poor pay and benefits, gender-based harassment, you name it, all the reasons you would want to leave a job, poor management. So I wrote two articles for Cycling Weekly. One was interviewing three female leaders in cycling. So Kay Baranoa of Zwift, Cassandra Spring at LIV, and Sasha Castling at Ribble Cycles. And then I wrote one article about a female leader who had just left the cycling industry after 10 years. She had kind of had enough. And that was Holly Weatherstone. She used to work at Muck Off, which is like the bike servicing company. They make all the hot pink stuff. I think the general gist is actually all four women, even Holly, who had decided to go in a totally different direction. She's now in like the fashion and beauty industry. They all said that if you are passionate about cycling as a female and you want to get into the industry, it's actually a really good time to, because things are shifting and changing, and they do all authentically believe like better times are on the horizon. But I think having myself as a journalist in the industry, but also having worked for some smaller like startup brands and endurance sports and cycling in the past, I think that comes, in my opinion, with a major asterisk of like, but you kind of have to be willing to do the grunt work as a female in the industry right now to like make those changes stick. So like, yes, it's a good time to join the industry because things are changing, but who's really driving that change, right? It's women who are, their only choice is to drive that change. And it's exhausting. It's like, I mean,
yeah. That's what I always feel when, cause like obviously media like has a similar, and like, I end up feeling like, I don't want to deal with that. I want to just like, why should we have, like, I want to just do my own thing.
Yeah. I always tell people, just want to race like everybody else. Right. Good grief.
Yeah. I mean, Kelly, even on the press call on Monday with Ironman, I was, again, 99% sure that was your phone number. And I was like, wow, Kelly and I are the only two female journalists in that call.
Which is like pretty standard. And like, on the one hand, it's fine. Like nobody's like, I was asking nobody's mean. It's not mostly nobody's mean, right? But like, on the other hand, right, it gets exhausting. And so I'm curious, like, I mean, Khadija, you're also in an industry that's like pretty low on women. Like, these are not unique to cycling or endurance sports. Those are just like,
yeah, I'm an engineer. Yeah. I work for the power company. Even like in my graduate program, I was the only woman. I was the only Muslim. I was the only. There was another black person. They were from Nigeria. So it's in areas of science and technology. And when I used to work for Delta Airlines, I mean, it was all guys. I had, you know, so I was used to that. Even in my studies, when I did my undergraduate, I went to North Carolina A&T. All my friends, they're like, oh, we want to hang out with you because the engineering school is like 80% guys. And look, I'm studying with you. So, but yeah, but it does. It gets it gets exhausting. And then even just being a Muslim in triathlon, it's exhausting. You know, every race, everybody asks you the same questions. Are you hot? Are you this? Are you that? And then I get it. And as a woman, you're always, you can't just be good. You have to be better all the mm-hmm. time. And it's, mm-hmm. it gets exhausting with everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just can't, like, and kudos to you for sticking it out, because I feel like I would not. I know often that when I just don't stick it out, which, like, I don't know, right? Like, I don't know if that's bad. Like, I don't know if I should stick, right? Like, I don't know, you know, does that make sense? Like, I don't know if you should stick it out or if you shouldn't, right? Like, I guess it depends on the individual person.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to speak for anyone else. I think, again, it's like, what are your, like, if your ultimate goal is, like, you feel passionate, especially in cycling, like, you feel passionate about changing the industry. Sure. I look at, like, Kate Varenneau at Zwift. She was a huge driver behind getting Tour de France Femmes Avec Zwift mm-hmm. off the ground. Like, I know from my conversation with Kate, like, Kate wants to leave the industry very different than how she found it. And, like, I don't, and that's not saying other women, like, don't, but I just mean, you know, if that's not, like, central to your mission, I totally get why you would be just, like, exhausted and say this isn't for me. But I think, again, just like in any industry, there will always be those people who are like, yeah, I want to fundamentally change this at its core. And, you know, I think Kate's one of the people. I think Cassandra Spring is the same way. They're doing a lot at LIV to, like, improve inclusion in cycling and diversity in cycling. And but they both said, like, it's tiring. it's hard work. And I think one thing that I heard from all three of the women in the Why We're Staying piece, and then even in the Holly Weatherstone's piece about why she's leaving, was they're really tired of seeing the same leadership, like, recycled from within the industry. So, like, you, for example, like, you look at, and again, I'll actually give credit to Ironman for not doing this, but you look at smaller brands, like, I forget which brand it was recently,
they just,
but
like, they move around. Yeah.
Yeah. They announced the new CEO or CEO or CFO. And it was like formerly CFO of, you know, neighboring brand. And
it's small. It's a small world. It's a small,
that's,
it's like,
I mean, I that's even corporate America though. Yeah. I mean, you see that if you look in the airline industry, the energy industry, it's the same thing. It's the same faces going around. The thing is, especially in sports, if pursue your passion, pick your poison, but pursue your passion if that's what it is. It's a job, mm-hmm. yeah, but it's a little bit different from just like a regular job. I think there's so much heart and desire mm-hmm. to create a legacy when it comes to sports, and it's a little bit different.
Do you think if there is more upward mobility within these companies rather than, you know, taking the CEO or, you know, the C-level people, like moving them from company to company, that we would see more representation? Or is it just going to be the same thing where, like, white men are always going to be in charge, whether it's recycling from one company to another?
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter what the mechanism is. It's just,
here's like what I've had this, so like moving aside from sports, right, like media is like what I knew super well, and like and you saw a lot of this happening over the last 3 years because media had kind of this like reckoning where they were like, oh shit, we don't have like women and we don't have people of color in positions of power, and then they like promoted at rates that people like weren't prepared for, and then people were in positions where they felt like really, really stressed out, right? Like, I represent all women, I can't fuck up, and you also like care deeply and want to do it right. And you also like want to help everyone else behind you. And you also, right, like all these things. And and you're like, then finally you're like, I can't like, want, like, I can't do this. Right. And so you saw, so then you saw huge waves of people quit and leave. And then you're like, well, this was not sustainable. So like, clearly you need to build permanent sustainable pathways. And then when I was talking to a friend about this, cause we were both like this, like, I'm exhausted. Like, we're like this, I'm so tired. And your choice is either like, if you're like, I can't, like, I for one struggle to work within a system that I think is flawed, right? Then your only other choice is to build something from scratch, which is like obviously old Sarah. That's why like I ended up going and working with old Sarah, because you're like, well, we're just going to do it our own fucking way and we're going to do it from scratch. But then it's like you have to build something completely new, and that's really, really hard, right? Like,
but there's no mentoring involved. That's the problem. They simply said, okay, we're going to take the best and the brightest. We're going to put them in this position. A lot of times these white men, they get to these positions because they have an uncle, a father that's from the time they've groomed them from the time they were whatever age. So that's why it's so important to build networks where we're mentoring each other and stepping on each other's backs. And some people, they have too much ego. They're not willing to say, okay, this is as high as I can go, but there's a young girl out there who's got twice as much talent as I do. I'm going to let her step on my shoulders. And I say this all the time, and I know people get sick of me saying it. Solidarity is an action word. It's got to be an action word. It's not a thing.
I love that. Yeah. And to build off your point, Khadija, with mentorship, I have no affiliation with this, so it's like, I'm not trying to promote anything I'm part of, but something that was brought up a lot by the women I interviewed was the Uplift mentorship program, which is exactly that. It's female leaders. I forget what the stipulation is to like be a leader, if it's like a decade of experience or what, but it's female leaders in cycling who sign up to be part of this mentorship program, and they mentor other young women in cycling for a full year. That just got started this year. So, you know, when that, or this year, meaning, gosh, I'm still thinking it's 2023. That just got started in 2023. So, yet to like hear any feedback from participants in it, but I think that's really one of the first mentorship programs of its kind for women in cycling. But I agree with you. It's like, how many times do we hear in any industry about, you know, and so-and-so's dad was actually the CEO, and you know, now his son is assuming the role. And one point I do want to make that I think
something to note though too is like, that's not necessarily like they're bad people. Like my husband works in politics, right? And I have this conversation and like, he works in like Democratic politics. And so they're always trying to hire underrepresented people. Your circles are who you know, right? Like your circles look like you almost always, right? Like that's how people operate. And so you have to really it's not like you're doing something wrong. It's like, but then you have to really make an effort to go out and find other people because you're not going to know the people outside your circle, right? Like, does that make sense? Like, and so that's true of everyone. It's just like the people who are in charge, their circles also look like them. And then they hire those people, right? Like So it's just, I think it's like important to remember, like, I think sometimes people feel very attacked, and it's like, this isn't necessarily like attacking. It's just like, you have to make an effort to change.
If you're cognizant, you've got to make an effort. If you're cognizant and you purposely don't, that's when there's a problem.
One other point I just wanted to bring up from the articles that I wrote was, I think it was Wasserman released some really interesting stats, the sports media group, back in like fall of 2023, basically about what a good investment it is to invest in female athletes. So this steps away a little bit from like women in leadership and talks more about—
Sarah, nobody can see you doing a dance. It's a podcast.
pausing for a second, acknowledging Sarah's like Jersey Shore fist pumping, something like that. And I think I have some of the stats up here, but it was like, hang on. It was like 54%. There's like a 54%. Here we go. Let me just read this. Women athletes drive twice the engagement on social media. They drive fans to be 54% more aware of women athlete sponsors than men athletes. And fans of women athletes are 45% more willing to consider a purchase from sponsor brands. So I think the overall point is, it's still seen for whatever reason as like a risk to invest in women, like whether that's investing in them from a leadership, like climb the corporate ladder perspective, or from like a sponsorship athlete perspective. And I think that is such a archaic way of thinking, but for whatever reason, it's still seen as this like this novel thing to do, to like invest in women. And it's like, no, I mean, we literally have years of data on it at this point, that it's a really smart business choice internally, like to promote internally and elevate women that way, and also to just invest in like female athletes. But it's wild to me the way it's still seen as this like, and we're sponsoring women. It's like, yeah, you effing should be. It's really good for your business and it's good for women. It's like, to me, it's kind of like, we almost need to move past that narrative in the sense of like, yeah, normalize it. You should be investing in women. There's really no question about why you should be.
But we have to give them a, what's the word right now? Like, you have to give them the gold star right now, so they keep doing it. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So gold stars for everybody. for right now.
Yeah, and if you invest in women 10 times, you get a free ice cream.
Right. Isn't that how you guys parent? This is my understanding of parenting, right? Like,
oh, the babysitters. Yeah, no, that's my husband. He's not a babysitter. Yes.
Yeah. So I do hope we're at a change. What's old Sarah? We always called it an inflection point. We're at an inflection point. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I think we will too. And you know, I think one of the biggest events to point to, at least in the cycling world, is the Tour de France Femmes. That garnered something like 232 million views last summer, which I believe is still less than the men's Tour de France. But like, it's not Sarah. We need to narrate Sarah once again. She's snapping.
I know. Can I just say that
she's liking
this. Sarah has been doing this podcast for like 3 years, and it seems like she sometimes forgets it is audio.
She's turned into a beatnik now. She's snapping.
Yeah, well, this is
for the three of you.
For the vibes.
Yeah, I'm not gonna like start like hooting and hollering over here because
maybe you should, Sarah.
Important things are being said.
But it should surprise no one that like women's sports stadiums are selling out, or that when women take the helm. Again, like pointing again to Kate via Zwift, it's like, yeah, we should have women like leading these initiatives because they know intimately this experience. So it's, again, it's great to like recognize it and celebrate it. But I also hope we get to a point where it's kind of just a no-brainer. And I think we're still a bit far from that. But the data's there. The stadium sellouts are there. The race sellouts are there. The views are there. ROI, all that good stuff. So super interesting and grateful to the four women who talked to me about all their different perspectives. You know, and real quick, last little rant here is U.S. really needs better maternity leave policy.
Like any kind of maternity leave. My sister just had her kid and she got no maternity leave.
She got 6 weeks of disability.
No. Yeah. Well, it's like whatever. No. So, yeah, but she could use her sick pay. That was basically.
Oh my God. Yeah. The US is, I think, one of the only like developed nations that doesn't have an established like federal maternity leave. And although Holly, this woman, is based in the UK, something she brought up is that in cycling in particular, in general, she was just speaking generally, the maternity leave policies are like pretty piss poor. They're just like, yeah, like have your kid and, you know, come on back like as quickly as possible. And it's like, you just had a freaking kid. I mean, I don't have kids, but Sarah, Khadija, like you guys would know.
I have enough for all of y'all.
You have enough kids.
I can give all of y'all a couple and we'll be good.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for these days.
But yeah,
because I'm a Khadija kid.
You want a grown kid? You want twins? I can give you
some. I'll take like a 12-year-old, you know? Okay. I need them to be like old enough to understand my jokes.
Yeah, okay? I got two of those. All right.
Like when they're really young and they don't understand sarcasm, I don't do super well. Like, just so you know.
Oh my God. That's amazing. My sister had a kid last year and I just got to meet him and he's a baby. And I was like telling him all my jokes and just pretending that he was getting them. I was like, yeah, you found that hilarious. I know it. Like, cause he's like 1 year old. And I was like, that's okay. You'll get that. You'll find me hilarious in like 10 years. That's okay. Like, but anyway, yeah, I just think maternity leave is a huge, huge thing too. We could spend a whole hour talking about that, but just wanted to call that out too.
Yeah. I was about to say, Sarah, did you get maternity leave? And then I was like, well, I mean, you don't even have a real job. No.
I mean, it was also COVID era. So right, like,
not fired. Right.
Yeah. There weren't that many races going on. So it was like the world was on maternity leave for me. Yeah.
That was the ideal time to have a baby, I guess.
It did work out, yeah.
I feel like there so many pros. Like so many pros had babies.
Yeah. All of my friends had babies because it was like one of those, it's like the demographic. You know what I mean? There was like a certain demographic. Okay, there was a certain demographic that had kids during COVID, and there was a certain demographic that was like, oh my God, this is terrible, and did not. And they're like socioeconomically the opposite ends of the spectrum. So well, speaking of women's sports, we gotta talk about like the biggest. So Olympic year is basically a women's sports year. I love Olympic years. We're starting Olympic trials and the Olympic marathon trials. It's so funny because I don't actually really care about the Olympic marathon.
Like, and I have
but the trials. You have your picks? All right. So
this is Sarah's question. This is my question of the week. Don't be still my thunder.
Sorry. I was transitioning. Did you like my transition?
Yeah. Kelly, you can do it. You can do it.
Well, no, I was just, that was my transition. I set you up. Okay, now you go.
Okay. Khadija's just ready to go. Which three women are going to make the U.S. marathon team for the Olympics?
I think Sarah Hall, and this is based off of like their fitness now and their build up now. I think Sarah Hall, Sally Kipyego, and Molly Seidel. I think if anybody leaves any room open, I think Des Linden or Molly Huddle is going to sneak in there and take it.
Interesting.
Dark horses, maybe Emily Sisson, but Jordan Hasse, she's been all over the place. So I don't know.
Wait, is she actually starting?
I don't know.
Because I heard, so many people have been pulling out, because obviously one of the big things is, like, you never know who's, like, been hiding an injury for 3 months and who's, like, right? You never actually know.
And I think she's injured.
So it looks like it's actually going to be 155-ish starting, is what I've heard, which is actually, like, pretty small for the trials. You never know if what people are, like, saying publicly.
Yeah.
What's actually happening.
But I think Emily Sisson can sneak in there.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Emily's actually on my pick.
She's
one
of
your picks.
Yeah.
All right. You two, who are your picks? Kelly?
Well, it's like really, I mean, it's really hard, right? Because like the women are super, super deep and super, and like just like 7 or 8. As a rule, one of my rules is you never bet against a defending Olympic medalist who's healthy. So Molly Seidel, I think, will get it done. Emma Sisson is on my pick just because like she's been pretty on form. And then I was like, I can't decide between Betsy Saina, how do you say her name, and Kiara Demeto. Those are like my two where I'm like, it's gonna be one of them. And I think like Jenny Simpson's gonna end up like fourth or fifth. That's my other, like, I think she's gonna do pretty good, but it's like it's her first marathon.
You don't think Sarah Hall will be in it?
Sarah, like, I mean, sure, but like, she's going to be in there, right? Like, all these people are going to be like, it's just going to be like, all so close in a mix right in there.
Yeah. I had a whole list of people, and I'm thinking, like, who's healthy, who's had good races, but not too close. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Yeah. My picks are super, super similar to Kelly's. I think Molly Seidel, M. Sisson. And then my third pick is a little up in the air. It's like, I want to see, I like Sarah Hall. I think that she's super gritty. I think that she is like no nonsense about her training. But I also, Betsy Saina recently came onto my radar. Mm-hmm. I think that she's a dark horse, but I think she has one of the fastest times of all the women, like going into, I think M. Sisson has
the fastest
right now, but Betsy's only like 3 or 4 minutes back, and I think she really wants this, so we'll see. But it's so cool because like the field is so deep, and I mean, it's like, how cool is it that this is such a difficult choice? I think Jenny Simpson's gonna go out guns a-blazing. I don't know that she'll be in the top three. I could see her around like fifth or sixth. I think Molly Seidel's been like pretty, like, she was injured, and then I think she's been pretty steadily chipping away, and she is when she gets going, man, she is just speedy, so we'll see.
All right,
Sarah, picks, you gonna pick? Okay,
Betsy.
Okay,
Emily Sisson. If Emma Bates was healthy, I would have said she would have been third, but she's not healthy, she's been broken, so I'm gonna go. I've heard rumors that Molly Seidel might have just had surgery not that long ago.
Oh.
So if that's a false rumor, I'm going to say she's going to make the team. If that's a true rumor, then I'm going to say Sally Kipyego.
Interesting. Nice. Interesting. I feel like there's somebody obvious we're all like not picking, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure.
Here's my actual prediction. Somebody, none of us said, is going to make the team. Yeah, that's what's actually
100%.
They messed me up at the Ironman World Championships. I was like, oh, come on. I was almost right.
Oh, with your predictions?
Yeah. So I was like, I thought Taylor was going to get off the bike first and get run down. And I thought for sure Lucy would win. I had 1 and 2 right. But number 3, I was like, who is this?
Oh, man.
Oh, she's won a lot of Ironmans too. I don't
know. Laura Phil, yeah. Tries to keep them all straight. So,
yeah.
Are you guys going to watch it live? Oh, I guess it's not early for you. It's like 7 a.m. for me. So,
yes,
yeah, I'll probably watch it.
So, Ben, my husband's coaching two athletes who are just kind of racing through it. I think they're both doing Boston. So, I think like it's going to be on in the household and we're going to be watching for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'll be watching.
Do we even care who's going to make the men's team? Commentary. Are we even going to talk about
this? You know, this is we're celebrating women's sports today.
All right.
They get plenty of air.
Right.
But do you want to share your three picks?
Celebrating women's sports.
No, I'm good.
No, okay. You only need two picks because it's not going to be three. That's for sure.
Oh, that's
only
going to
be two.
Good point.
Only going to be two. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Kelly, I'm guessing you're going to the Wazelle Live Feisty.
I am going. It's my last plug for our watch party. If you're in Seattle, we're hosting a watch party with Wazelle at Rough and Tumble Bar. And I think we have like 75 people coming so far. So
are you going to go live?
We're going to like, we'll have, it's a lot. It's a watch live watch party with like prizes and trivia and raffles. And a, yeah, it's going to be fun.
So, a bar at 7 a.m. Why not?
Why not?
Well, thank you everybody for a wonderful, if we were riding, hopefully we get the hot goss next week from Jocelyn when she's back. Kristen, it has been wonderful to have you on. Please come and ride anytime. And we look forward to seeing you out there doing your many Ironman branded events this year.
Thank you. I'll see you all at Lake Placid's. You know, the one thing I'm missing is an Ironman tattoo.
Reunion at Lake Placid. Love it.
We should go live on. We should literally, wow, if we were riding, like that's what we should do. You know, it's two loops. We could all link up. That's totally possible.
There we go. All right. None of you people can tell me to stop. My town, my crown. We know what it takes to be reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We're reaching the top. We know what it takes to be reaching the top.